The title of the sermon today is, Have You Braced for Impact? Have you braced for impact? And the subtitle is, Are You Ready to Live in the Days of Noah and Lot? Now, information in this sermon comes from a number of sources, in part from the following books. This one I have is an e-book, so I just printed off the cover. America's Fall into Sodom. The Coming Tsunami. Why Christians are labeled intolerant, irrelevant, oppressive, and dangerous, and how we can turn the tide. This is a brand new book by Jonathan Kahn on the Josiah Manifesto, the Ancient Mystery, and the Guide for the End Times. And another one, The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. And finally, of course, the Bible Study Edition. Okay. On September the 22nd, 2018, I gave a sermon in East Texas titled Brace for Impact. The sermon was given right before the Feast of Tabernacles as a combined service with Texarkana. It's now been 5 years since that sermon was delivered. I think we can all agree that the last 5 years have revealed incredible wickedness in high places. Things have happened that we couldn't even have imagined just 5 years ago. For instance, the COVID-19 pathogen was released upon the world almost exactly 1 year later in 2019. We see a new generation of fatherless young males acting out in antisocial ways, divorced from reality and totally lacking in moral responsibility. Worldly Christians are gobbling up counterfeit gospels and compromising the teachings of Christ. Catholic theologians are preparing to welcome extraterrestrial life as brothers. This generation refuses to expose and correct sin. It is like the time of Eli, the priest, who refused to correct his sons as they stole and corrupted the offerings of God. We call good evil and evil good, and we make laws that allow for infanticide and then clap and cheer. We're destroying our language, borders, and culture, which define us as a nation. Our borders are wide open. The United States is only second to Mexico in the number of Spanish-speaking peoples. We embrace a culture of corruption. Cartels have taken over our southern border. They traffic illegal migrants and drugs thanks to our open border policies. We have over 6 million illegal aliens invading our country. And there are over 300 deaths per day from fentanyl poisoning us. And tens of thousands of missing children. Soon, our inner cities will be totally controlled by gangs and drug cartels. A growing number of people in our country go about lying, hating, rioting, stealing, and even murdering. And these Americans and illegal aliens now break the law, burning down buildings during racial protests, and are protected by government officials. Those who speak out are accused of hate speech. Parents at school board meetings who try to stop the government takeover of their children are dragged away by the police and charged with being terrorists. Moral relativism promotes crimes in the name of social justice. And truth is now called misinformation. The victim mindset is alive and well, and people think they can break the law if it demonstrates social activism. Americans have removed God and the Ten Commandments, the absolute standard of law and morality, from the judicial system. Materialistic utopian views and transhumanism have become an intellectual and cultural movement that affirms the desirability of improving the human condition and achieving eternal life through new technologies. God has been removed from our schools, forbidding teachers to teach moral right and wrong. Young children are taught that they are racist if they are white. The president tells the nation that the greatest threat to our democracy is white supremacy. Now, we can't even say that a child is born male or female. Instead, we say it is all relative, based on a personal decision. Many cannot define what a woman is, including women. Children are now allowed to self-identify as animals, including cats. Teacher asks the child a question, and the child answers, meow, 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 meow. That's what's going on today in our schools. It's crazy. We teach preschool and grade school children to embrace sexual immorality, homosexuality, transgenderism, and same-sex marriage. We expose young children to lewd acts in so-called family-friendly drag queen shows. There's a movement to make laws that defend sex with children and protect child predators. Many affluent, including influential corporate executives, have become intoxicated with a cultural revolution similar to that in communist China. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg even asked China's President Xi if he would give an honorary Chinese name to the daughter he and his wife were expecting. We are becoming a lawless culture without moral absolutes, where everyone becomes a law unto themselves. We have no moral compass of right and wrong. Those who are lawless have come into power. America is being governed, for the most part, by totally unethical leaders. And these leaders are constantly lying to the American public. Police are being defunded while corrupt leaders trample on our rights without guilt, remorse, or shame. America's government has fallen into the hands of unethical leaders, and Christians are being harassed and intimidated. As Christians, we must be bracing ourselves for the days ahead. We know that lawlessness will abound before the second coming of Christ, and the love of many will grow cold. Over in Matthew 24 and 12, you're all familiar with this scripture. Matthew 24, 12 says that. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We know that as the return of Christ draws near, all nations will come to hate authentic Christians. And do not expect the government to protect the church. Governments will attempt to control, manipulate, and even destroy Christian influence. There is a spirit of Antichrist on the rise throughout the world. Eventually, the world will accept a one-world government and a one-world religion under a single leader who they will worship as God. And immorality and lawlessness is the forerunner of Antichrist. People will accept immorality of the Antichrist because they will have been conditioned to see nothing wrong with it. That's what's going on today. We are witnessing that conditioning process unfolding right before our eyes. As Christians, we must see what is happening in the days we live in and become a shining light and a voice crying out in the wilderness for what is true and right. Just as Mordecai told Esther in Esther 4 and verse 14, Esther 4 and verse 14, he said, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now is our Esther time to stand up and be brave." You see, the world is about to change in many ways simultaneously, and the changes will be momentous. Now, one thing is for sure, the future we all face today has far more potential danger than any previous generation has ever faced. However, looking beyond that, as Christians, we see safety and peace on the horizon. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures that wonderful time of peace and safety. But to keep the feast, we first have the Day of Atonement, the most solemn day of the year. The Day of Atonement reminds us that before the wonderful kingdom of God arrives, Satan, the god of this present evil age, must be put away. On the Day of Atonement, this whole world will be freed from Satan's bondage as the Jubilee is proclaimed. For about 60 years, humanity has had the potential to kill every human on earth using modern weapons of mass destruction. Many live in fear of nuclear war. Recently, Russia deployed its Satan II missiles, considered one of the deadliest nuclear missiles in the world. You see, the world seems to be careening towards a mass extinction event. The world's economic system will shortly experience a financial tsunami unlike anything ever seen. And it is not a question of if, but rather when. I don't know. You don't know. You see, as a nation, we are bankrupt, but continue to pretend all is well. During this last week, our national debt increased $833 million an hour. We are the largest debtor nation in world history. Yet, we continue to go deeper into debt while robbing God of his tithes and offerings. And our problems are not political. And there is no political solution. Our problems are spiritual, and the only solution is repentance. However, our leaders see no need to repent, and few sigh and cry over the abominations committed in our land. Here is what God will do to a sinful nation. Let's turn over and read in our Bibles Ezekiel chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. Ezekiel chapter 9. verses 3 through 7. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have pity. Utterly slay old and young, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. This is describing national sin, and there's going to be national punishment. Jeremiah had this to say about a nation that would not heed warnings and reject God's law. Turn over to Jeremiah 6. And we'll read verses 13 through 19. Jeremiah 6, verses 13 through 19. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They've also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O your nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their own thoughts, you see. Because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. While confident world leaders promote the hope of peace, they do not know the way to peace. And despite what political candidates say, America will not be made great again through political means. Our nation has turned away from God and told him to stay out of our affairs. Our leadership choice for the United States in particular has hit its lowest standard in history. Candidates accuse and counter-accuse one another in shameless public rhetoric. The personal lives set an even lower standard. You see, there is no hope from our politicians. And there is no desire by our people to reach out to the true God who makes himself known through his word and his creation. The heart of man remains deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yes, while we are told that humanity is moving forward thanks to technology, and evolution, we are actually going backwards. We wish for peace, prosperity, and safety, yet there are so many signs that the future we wish for is just wishful thinking. The prophet Isaiah described what happens to people who depart from their Creator. Turn over to Isaiah 59 and we'll read verses 14 and 15. Isaiah 59, verses 14 and 15. Surely this describes us today. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. The truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. Many current world leaders believe establishing a one-world government is the only hope for peace. In that, they are correct. However, the government they envision is not God's government, but one under the sway of Satan, the god of this world. That kind of government will not bring peace. You cannot have a government that brings peace and safety when it is under the influence of Satan, who is a liar and a murderer. Turn over to John 8, and we'll read that in verse 44. John 8 and verse 44. Here it says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. One translation says, when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. World leaders who tell us the way to peace is through a government of man's devisings are lying to us. Satan has inspired these lies, which, if followed, will ultimately end in the extinction of the human race. Now, thinking young people wonder about the world that they will inherit. Some honestly want to know what might be in store for them in the years ahead. Already, we're looking at the world that has problems such as broken homes, immorality, crime is with us. There's even slavery and human trafficking going on. In addition, we see increasing global conflict. Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran are all threatening our weakening military. We withdrew from Afghanistan in disgrace, and we are currently depleting our munitions and military equipment in a hopeless war in Ukraine. We foolishly tried to provoke Russia into a nuclear war, World War III. So, sadly, there is substantial and credible evidence to suspect a cataclysm in our future. There are measurable trends and satanic forces powerfully at work within our world systems, propelling us toward an ominous outcome. Our student, consumer, auto, and housing debt are massive. We are told by globalists that we will soon own nothing and we will be happy. Well, we may own nothing, but only the elite globalists will be happy. Now, when I delivered my sermon titled Brace for Impact 5 years ago, the U.S. federal debt was just $21 trillion, which, of course, didn't count unfunded liabilities such as Social Security. But today, the U.S. federal debt has ballooned to over $33 trillion. Now, that is $2.4 trillion average yearly increase over the last 5 years since I gave that sermon. $2.4 trillion a year added to the debt. But how big is $1 trillion? $1 trillion is a one followed by 12 zeros. To give you a better idea of how big a trillion is, 1 trillion seconds equals 32,000 years. That's 1 trillion. 32,000 years of seconds. 1 trillion square miles. How much would that cover? 1 trillion square miles would cover the surface of 5,000 Earths. That's 1 trillion. We're at 33 trillion and counting. Our nation is on an unsustainable fiscal path, driven by the mismatch between government commitments and our revenues. And furthermore, accumulating federal debt and relatively high interest rates will increase the government's borrowing costs. We are heading into an economic perfect storm. The world's economic system of fiat currency is in a fatal downward spiral, which will end in a total freezing of the debt market. What does that mean? Your bank account and your credit cards will immediately be locked down when that happens. We may see a new monetary system based on central bank digital currency put in place. Such a system will be programmable, allowing the government to control what you can buy and sell. Economic instability can lead to political unrest, often followed by war. So we had better see the signs of the times and prepare ourselves both physically and spiritually. We need to be bracing ourselves physically and above all spiritually for the impact which is to come. We have only a short time to ensure we are on the right side of God. When a tsunami is coming, the beach looks just fine at first, even inviting. The ocean recedes, and people are drawn to look at it. New beach sand is exposed, and fresh seashells become visible as the water recedes. But you see, appearance is very deceiving. A giant wave of water is coming, temporarily causing the water to recede at the beach. And we are currently in the receding water phase of a giant economic tsunami. But we're being told, don't worry. We must use wisdom as we make physical preparations for hard times. Turn over to Proverbs 6 and we'll read verses 6 through 8. Here's some wisdom advice, what do you want to call it? Advice, wise advice. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant. We got plenty of them in my backyard. So it doesn't take a long trip to do that. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So here is wise advice. Having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So we need to physically do as much as we possibly can to prepare for what's coming. We don't know when. We don't know when that wave is going to hit the shore. We just see the beach being exposed right now. Looks good, looks inviting. Everything's fine. But human life is threatened as never before in the history of this planet. Not by one peril, but by many. They are all working together, coming to a head at about the same time. All this sounds very similar to what we find over in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Again, very familiar scripture, but let's read it. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Here is a warning. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. In other words, the worst time ever. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I've often wondered, when it says no flesh would be saved, is it talking about just human flesh or all life on the planet? Could be. We do have the ability to destroy every living thing on this earth, I think. We've learned that humanity is flawed and capable of limitless evil acts. Our technological progress has exponentially increased the power available for malicious purposes. We've turned away from our Creator and have given in to selfish and narcissistic ways. We've become a people who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We've made our material things and gadgets the center of our lives, and they're proving not to be such a blessing. Paul wrote young Timothy what the world would be like at the end time. Let's read that over in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. This is written to a young person. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Notice that there would be acts of brutality at the end time. Brutality and barbarism are on the increase all over the world. You realize that Christianity is now the number one persecuted religion on earth? Yes. Our major cities are rapidly becoming controlled by gangs that loot and rob without any consequences. In the United Church of God booklet entitled, Are We Living in the Time of the End? It states the following, quote, many biblical prophecies leave us in no doubt that increasingly cataclysmic events will occur before God's direct intervention in human affairs, end of quote. Jesus Christ himself talked of a horrendous future. That time of troubles were not cut short, no living thing could survive. Everyone alive would die at that time if it were not cut short. The question for us today is this. Was Jesus speaking of our time? Is there hope for us, our children, and for humankind? In John's gospel, John quotes Jesus Christ. Jesus said that this way of life would undoubtedly have tribulation. But he also said that we could have peace in him. And because of that, we should actually be of good cheer. Now, with all that I've said, it's kind of hard, isn't it? But listen to what Jesus said. John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. This is a very comforting verse. John 16, verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Ah, yes, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And through him we can too. Some refuse to see what is happening today as it is too stressful. Some say they want to be happy and have their children grow up and be happy, not living in fear of such negative messages. And I can understand their wishful thinking, but the reality is otherwise. When you're on an airplane and the pilot announces that the aircraft may crash due to the possibility that the landing gear has not locked correctly, just thinking positive thoughts does not get you out of the situation. You hope for the best outcome, but you prepare for the worst by following the flight attendant's instructions and assume a bracing position. You brace for impact. We must look reality straight in the eyes and not be blinded by wishful thinking or the normalcy bias. We must not close our eyes to the severe reality we are currently facing. You see, we're watching a Mad Max scenario unfolding at glacial speed. But at some point, a glacier reaches the sea with a tumultuous crash. The church is being warned about this in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's take a look at that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. This passage draws our attention on the contrast between darkness and light. Those who are in darkness are saying peace and safety. Oh, it's all okay. Everything's going to turn out all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. I'm not going to sing it. They hide their eyes from the reality that is all around them. They are complacent and do not see what is about to happen. They may also be blind to their own spiritual condition. Over in Jeremiah 7 and verse 24, Jeremiah describes how a nation can deceive itself when it behaves from a wicked heart. Jeremiah 7 and verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of what? Of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. So today's message is what we must be, that we must be aware and alert, but not fearful. That's our message today. We must be aware and alert, but not fearful. All through the Bible, God tells his people to fear not. God is very much aware of our circumstances and our need for guidance and protection. Let's review a few things to enforce that concept. Luke 12 and verse 7. Luke 12 and verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You see, that's the emphasis. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So we're told God knows. He understands. He's very aware of you and your circumstances. Don't fear. Psalm 27 and verse 3. Psalm 27 and verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. We must see things as they are, including the invisible spiritual realm. We know that we are living in Satan's kingdom, and that we are not just struggling against human powers, but also spiritual powers. Turn over to Ephesians 6 and we'll read verse 12. Again, a very familiar verse. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's the political view today. We're wrestling against flesh and blood. No. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's something behind that flesh and blood. Against spiritual principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are not wrestling against the administration in Washington. They are just pawns of spiritual beings. Staying close to God and having the whole armor of God is where our safety is found, not in any political solution. Now, we can hope for better leaders. Oh, yes. Definitely hope for better leaders. There are better leaders and worse leaders. We know that. But our problems are national. We will have tribulation. But our hope is not in man's government or in man's technology. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God, period. That's where our hope lies. God's ultimate goal, of course, has always been to dwell with his people. Brethren, we are about to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures a time of great peace and abundance. Let's use these feast days to draw close to God and prepare yourself for the trials we may face in the coming year. Many pundits are saying 2024 could be a doozy for many reasons. It should be the desire of each of us to have the mind of Christ, the Prince of Peace, and to live these coming 8 days in peace and harmony. Turn over to Hebrews 12, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Here is where our focus should be, on the God of peace and harmony. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful feast.